Okay, I would like to call Congress back to order after another brief recess to confirm the vote for the alternate effective date. So, for ONCA 17-39, the alternate effective date failed and is advanced to enrollment. Okay. ONCA 1763, an act to authorize and appropriate $184,000 to the Capital Asset and Improvement Fund for renovating, reconfiguring, and maintaining the Wajaji Health Clinic and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Shaw is the sponsor. How do you wish to proceed?
Divide my time.
Okay, you have the floor.
As stated in the title, this request for this bill is to request $184,000 for renovation, remodeling, I think it said reconfiguring, whatever adjective you can find on the side, but it had to do with modifying that space and other containment from the four walls of the clinic that we've owned for years. You know, there's no new clinic coming immediately down the pike, so there's a need to reconfigure that to handle the increased workload, because I think the last year the IHS ran the clinic, which would have been 15 to 16, would they had, I think they saw 33,000. Last year, the number I received from clinic management was 43,000, projecting 53,000 patient visits this next year, and they're making efficient use of what they have, but some reconfiguring, remodeling, and renovation is necessary, and that has a price tag, because once again, just like that there's no equipment line item within the multi-year funding agreement, there's no construction line item contained within the multi-year funding agreement. And so they have money for operations, but do not get recurring funds for equipment or construction or renovation. Just to hit the highlights of what's contained in this request, why we approved optometry equipment, removing out of a one-room exam room and planning to reconfigure a storage area that's contained in the clinic to house a two-chair optometry clinic. Right now they have one chair. We approved equipment to have two chairs and modern optometry equipment, but they need to increase the space by reconfiguring this storage space. The storage space will be moved to an outside structure that's just used for storage. Also, replacement storeroom. Behavioral health needs some modifications in the clinic so that they can hire a second LCSW, because the one they have is absolutely booked all the time with a 4 to 8 month wait for that. The medical clinic, they're going to have four medical providers starting April the 24th, and so they need to do some reconfiguring to allow at least two exam rooms for providers, so that they have adequate space to stage and have patients ready to be seen as soon as the provider is done with the previous patient. And then the front area, where the receptionists are, apparently right now they're not, the configuration of the front lobby reception area isn't configured such to where the three people that staff that can see each other. Let me quote you out of the narrative that if we open up the area, they can see what's going on. So I guess they have to work with that, being able to have any line of sight communication, although they're all receiving patients. So they actually have $38,000 previously approved by this Congress to address that area, but apparently they were not able to find, Bruce Cass and his division weren't able to find any area contractors that would do that part of the renovation by itself for the $38,000 we've approved. So now, combining it with larger projects, they feel confident they'll be able to get someone. So it's going to include the $38,000 we've already approved. So I really think this is, they're going to need to use this facility for the next 3, maybe 5 years even. And so they need to make some minor changes. $184,000 is not a titanic amount to make that space more usable and more efficient. So I think this is good for the clinic and good for the nation. I ask that you vote yes on it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Edwards.
I will be voting for the bill, but I will say that, you know, you've heard me in many meetings saying that we need to keep close tabs on where we are on the spending. There is a restricted fund that puts third-party billing from the clinic into a restricted fund that they can spend out of. We apparently appropriated all that money out this year, and not included in that were any equipment or building needs. So I would suggest that next year, if there's going to be additional equipment and building needs, they need to work within the confines of the money that's there for that purpose.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak to this bill? If not, you have time remaining, Congressman Shaw.
The only thing I would say as far as the Washoe Clinic goes, other than the one-time appropriation for the equipment that this Congress approved and this renovation list that's $104,000 that's before us right now, the clinic hasn't requested or received any other specific tribal monies. It functions solely on the funding agreement monies and third-party billings. And so I think that's an achievement. You know, it was one of the roadblocks to actually getting the compact approved years ago was because people were concerned that it would become a large source of tribal requests just to keep it going or to keep it operating. And that hasn't happened. The only reason there's been requests have to do with the fact that we don't really get monies for that. We could sit back and wait for the third-party billings to ramp up sufficiently to where they can take a portion of that for construction or equipment. But I believe that some of their needs right now can't wait for that 2 or 3 years of ramping up. So, I understand what my colleague is saying is that technically, the beauty of compacting and third-party billing is ultimately you make enough third-party billing to where you can ramp up your operations and provide for your building needs from within. It's just the second year of the compact, and they're not there yet, and they've got needs they need now. So that's really where the equipment and renovation list came from.
Okay, thank you. The question is, shall ONCA 1763 pass?
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supernov?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehem?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. ONCA 1763 passes. There's an alternate effective date. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes and ONCA 1763 is advanced to enrollment. ONCA 1768, ONCR 1714. A resolution to authorize and approve execution of a contract for treatment services or other integrated services sole source fiscal year 2017 with the State of Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services and to authorize a limited waiver of sovereign immunity from suit and consent to jurisdiction. Congressman Shaw is the sponsor. How do you wish to proceed?
I divide my time.
Okay, you have the floor.
This request for a limited waiver of sovereign immunity has been previously requested and approved by this Congress. For 2015 and 2016, it's kind of interesting. We're already into the sixth or seventh month of this fiscal year and hadn't been pushed or requested to pass a limited waiver until now. And I'd pose the question, I go, well, you know, we're in the second half of the year. What happens if the limited waiver doesn't get approved for this contract? Because it's 2017, so there's like 5 months left in the contract here. The concern was, first of all, that the funding kind of dribbles in month by month. It doesn't come out for the whole year. There's concern that in fact, they've been told that if they don't get this passed, then they'll lose further funding for the remainder of this year and potentially maybe asked to repay monies. So I think it's important. It's, again, only for the remainder of this contract year, not for the next fiscal year, something that probably should have been done perhaps last summer, but I guess I didn't press for it, plus the funding and the exact amount of money has been in question. We've had 6-month contract extensions. We've had actually some additional monies approved by the state for that, but it's month to month and somewhat unpredictable because of the budget shortfall with the state. So right now it's still going, some money will be received, and they require a limited waiver of sovereign immunity within their contract. So I think it's good. I think we still need to provide those services for the remainder of this contract year. So I'll vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this resolution? Seeing none, do you want the rest of your time, Congressman?
I'll waive my time.
Okay. The question is, shall ONCR 1714 pass?
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Superman?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. ONCR 1714 passes and is advanced to enrollment. We have now come to motions and notices. Consideration of appointees for confirmation. Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Motion to confirm George Pease and Judy Johnson to the Gray Horse Village Committee.
Second.
There's a motion and second to confirm George Pease and Julianne Johnson for the Gray Horse. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Is it appropriate to do two names, to take a vote on two names at once?
We can do one. I'll withdraw my motion. Motion to confirm George Pease to the Gray Horse Village Committee.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of confirming George Pease to the Gray Horse Village?
For a 3-year term.
Committee for a 3-year term. Roll call, please.
Call for horseback.
Yeah.
Roll call, please.
Congressman Superman?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. George Pease is confirmed to the Gray Horse Village Committee. Congresswoman Buffalohead.
Motion to confirm Julianne Johnson for the Gray Horse Village Committee for a 3-year term.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Roll call, please.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernov.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Julianne Johnson is confirmed to the Gray Horse Village Committee. Congresswoman.
Move to confirm Randy Standridge to the Osage Nation Energy Service LLC. For a 3-year term.
She asked me to say that.
Okay. For a 3-year term.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Roll call, please.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Abstain.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernov.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Randy Standard is confirmed to the Osage Nation Energy Services LLC. Congresswoman Buffalohead.
Motion to confirm Edward Vertigal Jr. for the Osage Nation Energy Services LLC for a 3-year term.
Motion's made. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bufflohead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Abstain.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Sipernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Edward Red Eagle Jr. is confirmed to the OC Nation Energy Services LLC. Congresswoman Bufflohead.
Congressman Red Eagle is here with us. I know you've been allowing for appointees that have been confirmed to say a couple of things.
No, that was prior to
the vote. Prior to the vote. I think he's still back there.
Right here. Right there.
I didn't know he was in here.
That was prior to.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your vote of confidence. We all know that the vagueness that ones has brought in the past, I think you'll see a different profile now. Today I'm talking with the individuals that I want to make up the management team, as I showed you in the overview. I hope that 1769 is passed and we get the release or the restrictions lifted so we can use that money to go into research and development. And the key word is intensely. We're moving approaching things that will, I hope, astonish you and the nation on the importance of the management, administrativeness, and economic vitality of the mineral state. We have to start there. And in the future plans, takes us outside the reservation, thanks to the credits of the tribal owned business. So the team that you, the three of us here are part of a team, and it's a very, very qualified team. I'm still amazed at their abilities. So these things will come to you. I'm going to ask for your ear and channel of communication from now till the CEO session. I want to bring you constant awareness of our steps as we move through the summer, spring and summer, because we'll be talking to production, venture capital investment. We want to start the remediation company, I'm saying that's the remediation company. We want to grab hold of the ABB problem within the county. Various things that are subject matter that not only our board and this Congress and the chief, and let's include the whole Osage constituency, has to learn more about present and future value of our state, and it is a great learning ground to take it out that education outside the reservation. So appreciate your confidence very much.
Thank you. Congratulations, yeah. Mr. Redigan. Congresswoman Bufflohead.
I'm here to confirm Anthony Webb for the Association of Energy Services LLC for a 3-year term.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Discussion?
Is he here?
Well, I didn't know anybody was back there. I thought we were just here. Okay. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Bufflohead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Abstain.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Sipernaw?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman
Whitehorn?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. Anthony Webb is confirmed to the Osage Nation Energy Services LLC. Congresswoman Bufflohead.
Motion confirmed Harry Hazen for the Osage Nation Election Board for a 3-year term.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Discussion? Roll call.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Sipernaw?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bufflohead?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. Terry Hazen is confirmed to the Osage Nation Election Board. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to approve Shannon Lockett to the Osage Nation Election Board.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded.
For 3-year term.
Discussion.
For 3-year term. Sorry.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Shannon Locke is confirmed to the Osage Nation Election Board. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to approve Paul B. Moore to the Osage Nation Utility Board for a 3-year term.
Second.
Discussion?
Congressman Baker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Paul B. Moore is confirmed to the Osage Nation Utility Authority Board. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to approve Mike Wellner to the Osage Nation Utility Authority Board for a 3-year term.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Discussion?
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Baker.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Mike Wellner is confirmed to the Osage Nation Utility Authority Board. Next is Committee of the Whole for discussion of rules. Congresswoman Edwards.
The first rule is rule number 4.1. Do you all have your rules?
Do you need to move to get into the committee?
That's what I was, yes. We have to have a motion. I was announcing that's what's next. I need a motion to move into Committee of the Whole.
Move to go into Committee of the Whole for the purpose of discussion of congressional rules.
Second.
Well, that's not the discussion. Okay.
All right, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no.
Okay, so.
We're now in Committee of the Whole. Congresswoman Edwards.
You have a paper that describes some of the things that were talked about in committee regarding some proposed rules. Those aren't the ones that are that look like amendment. They're the ones that say rule 8 or 7. Let's see. I want to know if this paper and have it.
Was it in our packet? Excuse me.
Yes, it was a no.
I handed out 4 sheets with the proposed amendment rules
page
this morning.
In your packet.
Okay.
So rule one, the discussion is whether you want to clarify that you're going to vote until someone is elected by a majority vote. It just says vote again right now. So the discussion was whether to it's not rule 1.1.
Starting on rule 1 or 4?
I am not discussing any of the rules that are for motion that we've already that have been put out by the committee. This was to be called to discuss committee and officer rule changes.
Okay, so page 1, rule 1.1.
Yeah, but I don't think that's right.
The question, Speaker?
It's under officer.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So has this been reported out in a committee report, and it's just a
no?
No? Okay.
So. We could not come to any kind of resolution on what to do about it.
Okay.
So we made a motion to ask the speaker to put this on the committee of the whole so we could discuss it to see if people wanted to make those changes. If not, so let me find it. Okay, election of officers. I'm sorry, maybe that is it. Rule 1.1. The Congress shall nominate from the floor and elect by majority office. Okay, so then the question is, it says, that on number 2 of 1.1.2, it says an affirmative vote of the majority of members present will be required to elect officers and establish the members of each committee for the coming year. In the event of a tie, the vote shall be taken again. And the question is whether we want to make clear that you're going to keep voting until someone is elected by a majority vote. We've done that. We had to vote, I think, 3 times one time, maybe twice one other time. But the point is, keep voting.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I like that change. I think that we should put that, insert that language into our rules.
If there's no objection to that, then when we go on motions and notices, I will include that as a proposed rule change. Okay. Next one.
It's on this last, the last page then.
Was the question of whether we want to have some sort of, we've been talking about term limits, but the question is whether we want to have people serve as chair or officers for no more than 2 consecutive terms. We got ourselves in a position with one of our members who sat as the chair of a committee for, I think, 4 years, and then was no longer on Congress, and no one else really knew what was going on in terms of being the chair of that committee. You're supposed to do a report to the next committee chair. That's a requirement that we have, but that didn't happen. So we were at a bit of a disadvantage. So the question is, do we want to have 2-year limits for committee for officers?
Congressman Walker.
Just curious, what's your intention with these rule changes? Are we going to vote them all together one by one? Mm-hmm. Are we just discussing them right now?
This is just for discussion right now. The committee has not, there's others that have been discussed and voted on to send to the Congress, but this, what she's going over right now, Rule 1, has not been voted on by the committee.
Right. They were discussed, but we couldn't come, we didn't have a consensus, so we wanted to bring it to the Congress for a discussion in the committee of the whole. If we can get a consensus, then I'll move them as a vote. If there's no consensus, then we'll go back to rules and see if we can figure something out.
Okay, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So this second amendment that we're talking about on this last page, where it says where we're going to insert for not more than 2 consecutive terms, that's speaking to elected officers, correct?
Correct.
And the elected officers are speaker, second speaker, 4 members of Congressional Affairs Committee, chairperson of Congressional Rules and Ethics, 2 members of Congressional Rules and Ethics Committee, chairperson of Congressional Appropriations Committee, chairperson of Membership Committee, 2 members of the Membership Committee. So those are the elected officials.
Correct.
That we're referring to.
Correct.
I'm good with that.
Anybody else? I mean, I'm not. You're in charge
floor right now. All right, nobody else is speaking, so you have
okay.
The floor to continue.
All right, page 3, line 2.3.1. This has to do with how committees would operate. The question is, the rules state that the speaker will set a priority for bills at the beginning of the session, and there's a deadline for bills to be filed, and so the speaker will set that priority. You know, I need the committees to consider these, the appropriation bills take priority, start with these bills, but we've come into a position where many people are not filing their bills before session. And you get into a position where then you haven't prioritized, the speaker hasn't prioritized the bills, and so therefore it's just kind of, I don't know, bills are getting left out, bills are getting forgotten, etc. So the question is whether then we should take the order of filing in the absence of some sort of direction from the speaker, which obviously she can't give he or she can't give direction if you haven't filed the bill, and to take those bills, at least in the initial hearing, get them on there in committee as they're filed, so that you'll have that initial hearing and you can react after that, but you won't run into a position where bills are just left out till the end of session. That's the goal.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, the way I see it is, this is falling under Rule 2.3, Speaker to set the report priorities of the session and action taken by members of Congress. This section is talking about what the Speaker's duties are, and if you're going to say that the Speaker has to make sure that all the committee members are visiting their bills in the order that they were filed, that's a lot more work to put on a Speaker for her to have to run roughshod over committee chairs who may not comply, or members that I think it could be a nightmare for the Speaker.
You want it in a different place.
If the Speaker is going to have to, I mean, that's what it says, Speaker to set and report the priorities of session and action taken by Congress. So that's a duty and obligation that you're going to put on one person to make sure that the sequential order is followed. I don't really know that I agree with sequential order. I have a big N sitting beside it right now. So I think that more discussion is needed on it, but...
Well, one of the things you think is that it should be under the responsibility of the committee chairs.
are you wanting to answer the question? If not,
it says when no priority is stated, to me the priorities of that the Speaker puts out for us would be, if we're during the SHEZO session, we need to get all the general appropriations bills passed out first. We need to get the funds for the health benefit, and she can prioritize how those bills are going to be heard on the floor of Congress, or whoever's the Speaker. And those are the priorities, and if they aren't following her priorities, she can, or he can do something about that, somewhat. But the rest of the priorities of the other bills that follow that we file, it's very hard to prioritize because we keep following during session. So I understand that's what you're trying to address here, but I don't know if there's really any fix or order to it personally.
I would just say I would agree that at the beginning there was very little filed. There was a lot filed after we started, which is why it was hard to do a priority. I understand that that's a responsibility of the Speaker, but it was extremely hard to do that. Right, and I was kind of like, well, and then some of them, there was a difference of whether it was appropriation. So I did mention the appropriations first, but for the spring, I don't know that there's a difference of opinion of whether that's actually the priority. So it was difficult, and then I would say, but what I have been doing is tracking what's the tracker and sitting down with Shanna and what's left, and we kind of giving committee chairs a nudge, like, don't forget, this is what, making sure we don't miss anything, or you have this bill, don't forget this is a sign, don't forget here's your appointees, and I tell Shanna, then she reminds the committee chairs. But it is difficult, so I would say that I could agree that that would be a madhouse if trying to keep up with, in the order. And then I would say I understand that people need to get things in timely so that they can be addressed. But then there's sometimes things aren't quite ready, but they're very, very important bills, and they just weren't quite ready for whatever reason, but a lot of work has been done on it, and it's something that really does need to get out by a certain time. That may come in towards the end of session. So I don't know. I'm sorry, but I jumped in there, but I did have Congressman Walker and then Congressman Shaw with their hands up.
Well, just briefly, I at this point, I'm not inclined to vote yes for that, or I think it would be a good rule change. I think I think the chairs and the speaker, you know, were elected to be put in leadership positions, and to basically make it go in a sequential order, I don't think that allows for a bill that is clearly more important than some of the other bills, not to diminish or discredit any bills over another, but there are bills that come up that need to be addressed in a quickly, and I think this would be a bit burdensome for that, or would limit discretionary decisions that a chair might need to make at times.
Right. Thank you. Congressman Shaw?
I have a similar feeling. I think the rule has the best interest of an orderly progression of our legislative process, but I think it's too much management, too much internal government to try to restrict it or to manage it that tightly. If bills have been forgotten, I still think the sponsor of the bill is the best person situated to follow up with those committee chairs. And what about my bill? What about my appropriation bill? You know, some people would say that if you have a bill that has a high chance of a veto and you want to have it done by a certain date, so the Congress would have time for a veto override, some people would say that's a priority and should be moved to the top. I understand that viewpoint, but does that truly make it a priority over, say, an appropriation bill? That's arguable. I still think we exercise good discretion. I think if bills are forgotten, I don't think it has to do with this prioritization. I can't tell you, but I just think the sponsor is the best chance to keep bills from being forgotten.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
Okay. I'm not 100% on board with the change. What I was agreeable to was us going into committee of the whole for discussion, which I'm glad that we're able to do that. I think that everyone here is guilty of filing after the deadline. I know that as chair of GovOps, I had people file under the deadline and then want their bill moved to the next agenda because they were afraid that the chief was going to veto their bill. So then I have to rearrange 2 days worth of agendas because someone turned something in late and now they're afraid that they're not going to get the opportunity if the chief vetoes it for us to override a veto. Now, how is that fair to all the other people that turned their legislation in on time or before? It's really not. I think we need to do a better job as sponsors, and we need to file before the deadline, if possible, and we need to not ask chairs, you know, I'm afraid the chief's going to veto this, and I want to try to override the veto. Don't, you know, if you filed it late, you filed it late, and I guess the next go-around will be, you know, the next session will be your next opportunity, but I know if I'm ever chair again, I'm not gonna do that for anyone. I just don't think it's right.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, the other consideration for those that write bulk, you know, big substantive legislation is you file your bill on time. It's a big bill. You've got it in on time. It's heard the last day of session for the first time. So, and then, or you've got a big bill and it's gone to the committee, heard, you know, second week, third week, it's in committee, and committee says, hey, go back and get this worked out and bring it back. We're going to put it back on the agenda for another week. Well, in the meantime, there's a lot of people that want new legislation written. So those people that got their bill requests in ahead of time, and got their bill, maybe got their bill heard, and it's a big bill, but it needs some work, and they need the assistance of the legislative writer, where the legislative writer's been slammed with 10 new bill requests on week 3. So, I mean, there's a reason to do it early, and to me, the people that get their bills in early should get them heard, and they should also have access to the legislative council to get revisions made, because sometimes you just can't get those done in a day, and I think that's going to show up today at 3 o'clock. We'll see. But you can't expect somebody to be able to take a big bill and get it revised. A committee cannot expect that in a day or two's time when you don't have the stuff filed ahead of time, and therefore there's all this last minute new bills being drafted. I mean, it would be one thing if they were all there and they were being, you know, heard and people were saying, hey, go make some changes and come back. But when everybody's filing new bills the last week of Congress, there's very little time to, the Legislative Council has very little time. It's also a consideration for him.
Okay, this is good discussion, but it's, we have 30 minutes and GovOps meets 1 to 3, 3 to 5, then appropriations at 5. So, and we're only on number 3. So, Congressman Mason had his hand up.
A couple of things since beginning of this entity we call our government. A couple of things are coming to mind. That, you know, we don't have 24 days. The Constitution says we meet for 24 days. There's 3 Saturdays that we don't meet. There's 3 days that we take away. We don't have that amount of time. We don't have political parties here where a Speaker of the House is either a Republican or a Democrat, and they can set their agenda according to the majority. We're a unicameral system, so that puts a lot of decision-making on part of the Speaker. And the Speaker has to work with the congressional writer, the staff that is here, and they set up a deadline. To say, if you want a bill to be considered for the next congressional session, it has to be in on this date. That allows the Speaker to set her deadline, or him to set a deadline, saying, these are the bills that are going to be considered in this session. That happens in other government entities. If you don't make the cut, you have to wait till the next session, 6 months away. That's the way it works in some other entities. But not here. We seemingly go beyond that deadline, so it doesn't exist. We're able to come in later with a bill. And if Assistant Chief was here, I'd address him and executive. Same way. You guys don't be sending stuff over here late. And if it's a money thing and it's past due and we're not going to consider it, it's frozen at this year's funding level for next year. Amen. And move on. We just freeze it right there. That includes us too. But that's just what I'm saying, and somehow in these rules, as we look at them, we have to think in those kind of terms that, you know, these, just, we 12 here are setting a rule, or we're going to change a rule. They have all these considerations to think about, and like has been said, every one of us that develop a, or birth a piece of legislation, it's important to us. And we think it's important to the people. And as Cuggy said in the early days, if it's important to the nation, then it has value. If it's important to the nation, the whole picture, 30,000 feet, you're looking down. If it's important, then it's very important. So again, we have to make that kind of decision whenever, even at this table at this moment, to see if we're going to deal with it now or think in terms of dealing with it when we come out of this time. Put on the floor and up or down a particular rule change, or just think about it longer and see if there's something out of your mind and heart that says it needs to be written this way, and to give our people that deal with this, because we, it's like the legislative writer, as Shannon said, that, you know, we can put a crunch on him if things just start piling up on him at a. And we have to get these out, and all of a sudden the clock is ticking. We get ourselves compressed, as we are now, and then we get in a hurry to knock them out before this particular date. So those are real things, and this is an important piece of what this Congress does, or the next Congress does. Whatever we decide, this is going to affect on down the line. So those are the pluses and minuses, and like Alice said, every one of us, well, no, I shouldn't say that. I said, I too have been violated that, come in late with a bill because something happened, and we bring it out, and it's, that makes it tough on the Speaker to say, okay, I got to get these in order somehow, that we deal with this and get them out to the committees, and we have that structure as well. It's just, it's a matter of order, and I think Osages, we like order. We get out of order, we get messed up.
Thank you, Congressman. All right, I've already announced the committee meetings for the remainder of the day. Quickly, I need to assign the appointee to the Osage Nation Foundation, Monty Bollinger. We have received the information as assigned to Government Operations Committee for consideration.
Just turn this stuff up.
Alice, are you?
Mm-hmm. Motion to come out of committee of the whole.
We're in committee of the whole right now.
Move to come out of committee of the whole.
Okay. I'm letting you know in committee of the whole. Everybody heard it. We've moved out. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to amend the rules as follows.
I will. I'm not going to second that. We have 20 minutes. Our clerks need to eat. We go into meetings from 1 to 5. I'll make a motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Second.
Motion made and second in discussion. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. We are adjourned until tomorrow at 10 a.m.